What if you could fully charge an electric vehicle in 72 seconds? That's not a typo. Researchers have demonstrated a new battery that retains 80% of its capacity after more than 2,000 of these ultra-rapid charges. This isn't a distant future. It's one of a dozen breakthroughs announced just this week. The solid-state battery era is arriving faster than anyone predicted, and the commercial and geopolitical stakes have never been higher. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the dam has broken on solid-state battery news. For years, it's been a promising lab technology. Suddenly, we have a flood of announcements covering everything from fundamental material science to full-scale gigafactory plans in Europe and aggressive EV deployment roadmaps in Asia. It feels like the entire industry is shifting gears at once.
It is. The announcements this week span the entire value chain. We're seeing major corporate commitments from automakers, breakthroughs in the core manufacturing processes that make these batteries viable, and strategic government initiatives in the U.S. and Japan designed to build resilient domestic supply chains. The race has moved from the lab to the factory floor.
Let's start there, on the factory floor. Who is actually making the big commercial moves to get these batteries into vehicles?
The most aggressive timelines are coming from Asia. This week, Chinese automaker Dongfeng announced a plan to deploy 50,000 solid-state battery EVs by 2027, with mass production of their 350 watt-hour per kilogram cells starting this September. Not to be outdone, Greater Bay Technology, or GBT, plans to launch the first industrial-scale production of a 500 watt-hour per kilogram battery by 2026 for GAC's premium vehicles.
500 watt-hours per kilogram. Troy, put that in context for us.
That's nearly double the energy density of many current high-end lithium-ion batteries. It represents a monumental leap in EV range. Elsewhere, Samsung SDI confirmed it's targeting mass production for EVs by the second half of 2027, and Toyota has just activated a new pilot line specifically to solve mass production challenges.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers? It sounds like they are watching from the sidelines.
Not entirely, but they are playing a different game. This week, U.S.-based Solid Power reaffirmed its plan to scale up its solid electrolyte production to 75 metric tons by the end of 2026, supported by its deep partnership with BMW. And Taiwan's Prologium, which is a key partner for a major European OEM, just announced plans to go public via a SPAC merger to fund its 4-gigawatt-hour gigafactory in Dunkirk, France, which is slated to be running by 2030.
Okay, so a different strategy. Less about the automaker's brand name and more about the component and material supply chain. What should Western trading companies and distributors take away from this?
They need to understand that the core of the battery is changing. Sourcing will shift from liquid electrolytes and graphite anodes to ceramic or sulfite solid electrolytes and lithium metal. Companies like Solid Power and the new European joint venture, Argilium, are becoming the critical suppliers. The partnerships, like the one between Prologium and automotive supplier OP Mobility, show that integration is key. Market timing is critical. The window to secure supply of these next-gen materials is opening right now.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive at a Western automotive or industrial firm today?
You need to immediately evaluate your battery sourcing strategy for the 2027 to 2030 timeframe. The technology is moving faster than corporate planning cycles. Engage with emerging electrolyte suppliers like Solid Power and Prologium. Invest in joint development programs to understand the integration challenges for your specific products, whether it's an EV, a power tool, or a robotics platform. Waiting for the technology to mature is no longer a viable strategy.
Troy, this sudden acceleration can't be happening in a vacuum. What are the underlying manufacturing breakthroughs that are making mass production seem viable all of a sudden?
We saw two huge developments this week. First, a research paper in the Journal of Power Sources detailed a new dry electrode manufacturing process for solid-state batteries. This is a game changer.
Dry electrode process sounds very technical. Unpack that for us. Why does it matter?
The conventional wet process involves mixing battery materials into a slurry with toxic organic solvents, coating it on foil, and then using massive, energy-intensive ovens to dry it. The dry process eliminates the solvents and the ovens entirely. It mixes the powders and compresses them directly onto the foil.
The study indicates this could cut manufacturing costs by over 20% and drastically reduces the factory's environmental footprint and capital expenditure.
A 20% cost reduction is a massive lever. What's the other breakthrough?
Japanese vacuum technology leader OVEC unveiled a new deposition system for manufacturing thin-film solid electrolytes. This addresses a major bottleneck. These films are critical for performance, but making them consistently and quickly over large areas has been difficult and expensive. UOVAC claims its new system doubles production throughput compared to conventional equipment, while improving quality.
How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers trying to compete?
These innovations level the playing field. They lower the barrier to entry by reducing the capital needed to build a battery plant. For a U.S. or European company, adopting dry electrode technology means you can build more capacity with less capital and a smaller environmental footprint. It's a direct route to cost competitiveness.
And for trading companies and distributors?
Your focus should be on the new manufacturing equipment and material supply chain. Companies like UOVAC are now strategic suppliers. Distributors need to build expertise in handling solvent-free powders and new types of material rolls. The logistics and quality control requirements are different, and being first to master them is a competitive advantage.
So, the actionable insight here?
If you're planning new battery production capacity, you must model the ROI of a dry process line versus a conventional one. The CapEx and OpEx savings are likely to be compelling. And engage with equipment makers like UOVAC now to understand lead times and capabilities. Securing this next-generation manufacturing tech is as important as securing the raw materials.
Beyond the factory floor, we also saw some incredible science that pushes the performance envelope even further. And with that, a geopolitical dimension is emerging. What's happening at the frontiers of the research?
The most stunning result came from a U.S. research team. They developed a new quaternary alloy anode. That's a mix of lithium, aluminum, silicon, and zinc that enables incredible performance. A full solid-state cell built with this anode could be charged and discharged in just 72 seconds. More importantly, it retained 80% of its capacity after 2,050 of those cycles.
A 72-second charge is almost unbelievable. That completely changes the user experience for an EV.
Exactly. It makes charging faster than filling a tank of gas. We also saw breakthroughs in material stability. A new halide-rich argyrodite electrolyte showed 20% better conductivity, especially at low temperatures like minus 20 Celsius, a critical issue for EVs in cold climates. Other papers detailed new surface coatings for both cathodes and electrolytes that dramatically reduce internal resistance and extend cycle life.
This sounds like a technology arms race. How are governments in the West responding?
They're focused on building secure domestic supply chains. In Japan, the New Energy and Industrial Technology Development Organization, or NITO, just announced major funding for a new consortium. It brings together car makers, battery producers, and material suppliers to accelerate mass production and shore up the Japanese supply chain for solid-state materials.
And what about the U.S.?
The U.S. Department of Energy announced a new grant program specifically for developing solid-state battery recycling technologies. This is a forward-looking move. They recognize that these batteries use different materials and construction, so we can't use existing recycling methods. The goal is to create a circular economy and reduce reliance on foreign critical minerals by efficiently recovering materials from end-of-life batteries.
So for U.S. and European manufacturers, what's the upshot of these strategic moves?
It signals a major de-risking of the domestic supply chain. The NITO consortium will create a powerful, vertically integrated competitor in Japan. For Western firms, the DOE's recycling initiative creates an opportunity. Companies that develop efficient recycling processes will have a government-supported advantage and a source of lower-cost, domestically sourced battery materials.
Actionable insight for executives in this domain?
Get involved in these government-backed initiatives. For U.S. firms, apply for the DOE grants. For European firms, engage with consortia like Argilium. These programs provide non-dilutive funding and networking that will be invaluable. The future of this industry isn't just about making better batteries. It's about building a defensible and sustainable ecosystem, from raw material to recycling.
Troy, an incredible amount of information this week. If you had to boil it all down, what are the three most important strategic takeaways for our audience?
First, the commercialization timeline has collapsed. Solid state isn't a 2030s maybe anymore. Dongfeng, GBT, and Samsung are all targeting market entry between 2026 and 2027.
Western firms must accelerate their adoption roadmaps immediately or risk being left with obsolete technology.
Second,
manufacturing technology is the new battlefield. The advantage is shifting from pure R&D to scalable, cost-effective production. Innovations like the dry electrode process and advanced deposition systems are what will determine the winners and losers. Cost and quality at scale are everything.
And the final takeaway?
Supply chains are now a matter of national strategy. The moves by Japan's NITO and the U.S. Department of Energy are explicit attempts to build resilient domestic battery ecosystems. This creates immense opportunities for local manufacturers, materials processors, and recycling tech companies to become critical players in a secure Western supply chain. The time to engage is now.
A clear and urgent message. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for translating this complex landscape into actionable intelligence.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for Troy Technical Intelligence, where we analyze the technology developments that matter for your business. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing.